In the middle of a storm right now? Hear God's message to you from Psalm 46 next.
If your life right now feels like a storm, maybe things happened to you in the last couple of weeks that have really shaken your confidence. Perhaps there are things that are about to happen that you just think, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And it might feel like the water, the waves are just about to overtake you, coming up over the side of the boat, and your first reaction is to just freak out, to go, this is crazy. Well, God has a message for you in this psalm. And his message starts out by saying, I'm with you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's time once again for the Balanced Word. Great to have you in our listening family. Today we join Pastor Dave Rolfe in Psalm 46. And if you're experiencing a rough season in life right now, these will be words of comfort to you and music to your ears. Would you like to know where you can find safe refuge, strength, and help for the difficult times of life? Well, who wouldn't? Here's Pastor Dave to show us how God wants to be there for us.
So open your Bibles to Psalm 46. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's just an amazing psalm. There are so many of them that are that way, though. You forget how great the Psalms are until you really dig into them, and this one is one that's really special. You know, you've heard the expression, when it rains, it pours, and maybe you've been living that lately. The idea is it seems like bad things just come in bunches. Everything bad that happens also happens at the worst possible time. All bills come in at the same time. People's birthdays are always near holidays. When, you know, you're the busiest is when someone needs you the most. And so often we see that just all around us, life is a turmoil. It's a storm. Things are falling apart and we're struggling to try to make ends meet. And there doesn't seem to be enough time. There doesn't seem to be enough money. There doesn't seem to be enough energy. And we feel like I'm just about to sink. I'm just about to go under. In Psalm 46, the psalmist is kind of living there and talking about what it is to live in the middle of a storm. You know, I know that as we watch what happens in our country, this year down there in the southeast, in Florida and the adjoining states, it's unbelievable how many hurricanes and these powerful storms that just keep coming one after the other. These poor people get their windows all boarded up, and then the storm comes through and makes a mess of things, and then they pull the boards off, and then, uh-oh, is another one. And so they pack it up again, and it's just one after another. And that's the feeling that you get from the psalmist here in Psalm 46. And he begins by saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. At Calvary Costa Mesa, each week, we used to always read a psalm responsively. Chuck would read the odd-numbered verses, and we would join together in the reading of the even-numbered verses. And there are a couple of times when I remember this psalm as we read it that were especially poignant. One of them was one day when we had a huge earthquake on Sunday morning. And I was up there leading the singing, and the building just began to shake and quiver, and it was just stunning. And the chandeliers were swinging back and forth, those cheap chandeliers that Calvary has. And it was just like, well, and I didn't know what to do, so I just kept singing. We finished the song. And then people were just, you could see them shaking. There were some people who ran out of the building screaming. And I'm up here singing some hymn. I can't remember which one. I have a videotape of it somewhere, so I'll have to dig it up. But Pastor Chuck then got up and changed the psalm, and he went to this, Psalm 46, as it talks about the earth being removed and the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. Now, while we were reading that psalm, there were a couple of aftershocks, and I really don't know if this psalm provided that much comfort, but it was an effective time to do it. The other time I remember Chuck chose this psalm was right before Y2K, right before we turned from 1999 to 2000, and there were dire predictions of what was going to happen when the clocks rolled on into the year 2000. Nothing would work. You couldn't get power. You wouldn't be able to get water. You couldn't get gas. Your watch wouldn't work anymore. Your toaster wouldn't pop up. Everything. The world was going to end on January 1st, 2000. And so the Sunday right before it happened, Pastor Chuck read this psalm. And it was a comfort to a lot of us. It puts it into perspective. But maybe there isn't a literal hurricane in your life. Or maybe there isn't an earthquake coming, although it would be really cool if we had one right now, wouldn't it? It would be great. But it's probably not going to happen. I don't have enough faith. But maybe in other areas of your life, you are feeling kind of overwhelmed. You're feeling like, I'm in a storm. Now, an interesting thing about a storm, the one safe place is right in the middle, in the eye of the storm. And that's so often where God wants to take us. There is a place in the middle of the storm where it's calm, where everything is under control, where it is fine. You can look around and say, wow, all around us it's out of control. But here, if I find the eye of the storm, I can be safe as long as I stay in the eye of the storm. And that's tricky sometimes. But if your life right now feels like a storm, maybe things happened to you in the last couple of weeks that have really shaken your confidence. Perhaps there are things that are about to happen that you just think, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And it might feel like the water, the waves are just about to overtake you, coming up over the side of the boat, and your first reaction is to just freak out, to go, this is crazy. Well, God has a message for you in this psalm. And his message starts out by saying, I'm with you. God wants us to know that no matter what else is happening all around us, he is with us. He is strong. He can fix anything. He's God, and he is with us. He says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's kind of an awkward expression in English. But the idea is, he says, you're in trouble? I am here, really here. I am very, very here. I am as close as you could possibly imagine. Take comfort in my presence. When there's trouble, I'm in the business of fixing trouble. I am a very present help, God is saying. Later on, as we read, it talks about God being in the middle of his people. In verse 7, then it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The same thing in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He says, here I am. And since he is here, it says, you don't need to fear. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. No matter what else is happening, we're not going to fear. Okay, there's a storm, but I don't have to stand there and just take all the brunt of the storm. I am able to find that place of refuge in the middle of the storm because God is with me. One of my favorite things to see when there's a major storm is to watch on the news as the reporters really try to show how brave they are. And so they step out into the storm and the wind is blowing and their jackets flapping and they look scared, but it's like, I've got to do this. And so here's that obligatory picture of a reporter standing at an angle like the haunted house at Knott's Berry Farm. And it's like, oh yeah, here I am. Now, they could take three steps and they would be completely out of the wind. But they want to show you, here I am in the storm. And I think a lot of times we do the same thing. It's like we put ourselves into situations deliberately, maybe not just to show off or to make good television, but if we just stood behind the wall, we would be fine. If we just drew closer to the Lord, we wouldn't be getting battered and beaten. One of my favorite ones was in the Today Show. They had one of their little reporters who was in a kayak paddling down a main street where there had been flooding. And she's standing there holding her oar, sitting in the kayak, and just talking about how bad it all is. And as she was there on camera, two guys walked by. The water was ankle deep. And it was just right in the front of the picture. And it's like even Matt Lauer and Katie Couric were making fun of her. And, you know, oh, are you on a sandbar now? Are you okay? And obviously the boat couldn't have been floating. It was sitting on the ground with, you know, 3 inches of water running around it. And yet so often our lives start to look like that. Here we are rowing like crazy. And it's like, why don't you just get up and walk? Why don't you just put yourself in a place of safety? It's right there. You're okay. You've been saved. And so God is telling us and ministering to us through the psalm, and he says, there is a safe place, and it's where I am. And I'm going to come through for you. You don't need to put yourself into the storm. You can be here in the eye of the storm. You don't have to lose. You don't have to be wiped out by what's happening around you. You can pull away from that and draw close to me. Now, as he talks about the water roaring and the mountains shaking and all this stuff, he shifts gears in verse 4 in such an amazing way that you almost feel the brakes just slammed on. As he's going, we won't fear, even though the earth is removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea and the waters roar and are troubled and the mountains shake with its swelling. Boom. Wait a minute. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacle, the place where he dwells, of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. He's saying, in the middle of the storm, there's a place, and it may not ever feel like it's there, but there is a river, there really is. A place where it's not waves crashing you and wiping you out. A place of refreshment and comfort and enjoyment and strength. That's even in heaven, Revelation 20 and or 21 and 22, it talks about this river that's there in heaven. The river runs through it, kind of a deal, like this peaceful river that's flowing. And I like to remind myself when I'm in the middle of a storm that there is a river. It's not all like this. All water isn't thrashing me. Everything isn't about all the danger that's around, but God says, trust me. There is a river, and whatever it is that you're going through, God would say to you, it's not always going to be like this. We're trudging along, but I'm telling you, there's a river. There's a place where you will be refreshed and restored and renewed, where you can recreate, where you can receive again that strength and that comfort. And again, it says God's going to come through right at the break of day. They say that the darkest time of night is right before the dawn. And so he says, no, when the dawn comes, he's going to show up. He will be there. There is a river. I remember when we were little kids one time, we were up in Yosemite, and we were driving, our grandpa was driving us around up in the hills, and we picked up a hitchhiker. Now, most of you are so young, you don't even remember what hitchhikers are, but in those days, it was perfectly safe to give someone a ride who was standing out there asking for one. Well, this guy, he was probably in his early 20s, got in the car, he had some fishing gear, and we said, where are you going? And he said, oh, I'm going fishing. And my grandpa said to him, you know, I've fished every place in Yosemite, you just won't find fish here. I've fished all along the Merced River. I've fished up in the streams. There's no fish. And this guy said, well, I know a place where there is fish. And so he said, you want to come? And we said, sure. So we followed where he said to go. And he had us pull off on the side of the road. There was no parking spot there or anything. It was just in the middle of nowhere. And he said, come with me. And we got out of the car and we started following this guy trudging through the woods. Nowadays, I probably wouldn't do something like that. Because chances are you follow some stranger into the woods, you're not coming back. But again, this was the 60s, it was simpler times, and we followed this kid for what seemed like miles and miles. And there was no trail, and we were pulling branches apart and getting slapped in the face by them, getting bit by mosquitoes, and there was no sign of water anywhere. But he said, no, trust me, it's here. I know right where it is. And so we were starting to wonder when all of a sudden there's a break in the trees and there's this beautiful stream that's running down. And he says, hey, here you go. And he pulls out his fishing pole and he put some Velveeta cheese on a hook and tossed it in, pulled out a big old rainbow trout. And he pulled out his limit in probably 20, 25 minutes, let us fish a little bit. It was amazing. Now, we felt along the way like we should just give up. But here's the thing, we were so lost by that time. If we had ditched this kid out, we would have never found our car again. And so we just had to keep going and following him. And sure enough, there was a river, there was a place, just the way he described it. Fish just jumping out of the water. It really was true. We had to stick with him to see it happen. And so God says to each of us, he speaks to us and he says, yeah, I know it looks just like woods to you. And you're starting to wonder if I know what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, there is a river. There's a place where I'm taking you where there's going to be peace and fulfillment and joy and love and all those things that are put into your head that you need them and you desire them and you're looking for them. No, there's a place where it's going to happen. And because God is our refuge and because he is who he says he is, we can assuredly say, I'm not going to let fear rip me off. I'm not going to hold back because this is kind of scary and I don't know what's happening. If I know that God is who he says he is, I don't need to fear. I know that there's a river. I know there's a place that he's taking me that's going to be exactly where I'm supposed to be, where I can be who I am supposed to be. And that's true of each of us, of the lives that we have, of the future that we trust God for. Oh, if we want, we can allow fear to rip us off. You know, there's something in us that if something's really good, we have a tendency to be afraid of it. When you first started falling in love, that was scary. And many times you just wondered, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. You could talk yourself out of it. Other lonely people are always more than happy to talk you out of it. But you're going, I don't know. And you had to take that chance. For those of you that own houses, remember when you bought the house and you thought, what am I doing? Buyer's remorse started to set in. You're thinking, well, what if the bubble bursts and the housing value goes down and I owe more than what it's costing me? Oh, no. What if I can't afford to make the house payment? Well, if that time was any longer than a month ago, now you couldn't even rent your house for what your payment is. Your house has gone up in value. It was probably the smartest investment that you've ever made. And yet you know it. When it was happening, you tried and tried to talk yourself out of it. Or maybe you talked yourself out of one and now you look at what houses are costing and going, oh man, why didn't I just take that step? Why didn't I make that move? I might have told you before about a guy I met down in Corona Del Mar. He was, as we were down in Pirate's Cove for a baptism, I was talking to this guy and he goes, boy, this place brings back a lot of memories. And I said, yeah, me too, a lot of baptisms. And he goes, no, I was born and raised in that house right over there on the cliffs overlooking Corona Del Mar. And I said, wow, does your family still own it? He said, no. You know, they had bought it for like $60,000. And then when it went up to $74,000, they cashed in their chips and sold it and moved to Fullerton. But Satan is so good at keeping us from what God wants to do by causing us to chicken out, by causing us to be afraid. I know people who have had a heart for years of wanting to go on a missions trip. And I think going on a short-term missions trip is one of the greatest things that you can do. But you're afraid. I know other people who are afraid to just go out witnessing, so scared that something bad is going to happen. Others who won't go to Israel because they're afraid, who won't do other things because they're afraid. It's Satan's best trick. When you're afraid to do something, I would encourage you, think about doing it at least. Think about doing things that you're afraid of because God is with you. The great lie of Satan is that if you do this, you're on your own. The great truth of God, you're never on your own. He is a very present help. He is with you, and he has a plan, and life isn't supposed to be the way it is right now. If you're in turmoil, if you're in the middle of a battle, if you're getting beat up all over the place, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Draw close to him. He'll draw close to you. Allow him to take you to the eye of the storm. So that though you're surrounded with activity and noise, yet there you are, safe in the arms of your Lord, allowing him to comfort you and strengthen you and refresh you. There's no other way to live other than that. Now, God, in laying all of this out and talking about, I like that he's honest. He doesn't say, oh, life's not so bad. No, he says, you're in trouble. And that's why he's there to help. He says, no, the waves are crashing. The earth is shaking. It's going to melt away. There are wars and attacks, and it's awful. And truly, when we look at this world, we look at the natural disasters and go, whew, what if those kooky left-wing scientists are right? And this really is a global warming deal, and it's just going to get worse and worse. What if all that old spray deodorant we used to use is really going to destroy the planet? And then we look at, there's war everywhere. And then there's this crazy terrorist thing where there are people whose whole goal is just to deliberately mess people's lives up and make everyone live in fear. And how can you not, to a certain degree, be affected by that? And the psalmist would say, yeah, all that's true. All that is. Except for God. He's there. And one day, as it talks about, he's going to take all the weapons and he's just going to melt them down. And he's going to take all those people who will not submit to him and he'll destroy them. Oh, he's going to bring peace. Ultimately, that's what he will do. And we can take assurance that in the meantime, if we stay close to him, we will be in the eye of the storm. We will be protected by him. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's the one who goes to bat for us.
Allow that to encourage you today, especially if you're going through a difficult season of life. Pastor Dave Rolfe has a bit more to say before we wrap things up, so keep it right here. The Balanced Word is a ministry of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo, and today we've received great hope and encouragement from Psalm 46. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. We've seen already what God will do in the midst of a storm, but what are we to do? Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe with the answer.
Then he says, after discussing all this, he goes in verse 10. So here's your part. Okay, all this is what God's going to do. Here's what you do. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still. That word means literally comes from a root that means to drop your guard, to drop your hands, put your hands to your side. It also sometimes means just shut up, quit talking. There are some translations that have translated it, stop striving. See, when we see everything around us that's falling apart, we naturally want to fight against it. And so sometimes we put ourselves in the middle of the storm because we think this is our only chance. But God says, since I'm the one that you can trust, since I'm the one who is taking care of you, Why don't you stop fighting yourself long enough to understand who I am? Be still and know that I am God. Now, if he is God, it means we're not God. And that's important to understand. Oh, there are people today who want to believe that somehow they are God, but they aren't. He says, you know, yeah, if you think you're God, you better work hard. If you think you're going to become a God, better work at it. You got a lot of room to go. But if you understand that I'm God and you're not, then you realize not that much depends on you.
We'll expand on this great truth from Scripture next time. So please do come back for that and invite a friend to tune in as well, especially if they're in the midst of a storm. The Balanced Word with Dave Rolf is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and knees.